of expectation. Is anybody expecting anything? Amen. I love what Dre said, how he wrote a list of expectations from God, you know, that he's expecting from God, and how the Lord already met so many last year. This morning, as I was preparing, I was listening to Marilyn Hickey, and she was also preaching about expectation. And she said, make yourself a list and begin to declare it, and begin to declare it. And I was like, such a confirmation of what God had already given me. So I just encourage you this year to make your list. What are you believing God for? What are those expectations that you're believing him for? Make a list and let God bring them to pass. He will do it. He wants to do it. God wants to do it. God is about him. He wants to release his power upon the earth, and he's going to do it through us. He's going to do it through us. So tonight I just want to thank my husband for asking me to speak. And it's my first message of 2018, so I got a lot inside of me. So when the Lord gave us this theme of our year of expectation, we were thinking about the journey we've been on. Many of you have been on that journey with us, and we're so grateful for you that you haven't given up, because I'm telling you, our mandate is not that easy. Our job, our task in this city is not that easy, because we live in a hard city, and we hit and we pound and we hit and we pound certain areas, but God never fails, amen? He's been with us every step of the way. He's been with us. We have seen his faithfulness. We've seen his power. We've seen his glory. We've seen his provision. We've seen him go before us and break every crooked place and make it straight. Amen? We have seen the power of God. And this summit that we're going to have, it's going to be something like you've never experienced before. We want you to get on Facebook. Now it's time to open your mouth, okay? On Facebook. Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, just put the word out there that we're having our elder here to come and speak to us. And I have some really good news, ladies. On that Monday night, which is our very first women's discipleship, Sister Dodie's going to minister to us. She just confirmed today. Come on, get excited. She's part of the steering committee, and she's been amazing in my life. I'm so grateful for her. And she has said yes to our first night, so we're going to be blessed to have her. So we want to pack this place out. We want to see every woman that's here there that night. And it's going to be something different that you've never experienced before. But as the Lord began to confirm this message, he really spoke to us that, you know, our battles have been great. Our building project, everything that we've been through, all of that has come through toil, through prayer, through fasting. They're pushing forward. They're pushing forward. And we have seen God move. So we have seen the supernatural power of God. What you need to understand is that you're not here by coincidence. Oh, let me say it again. You are not here by coincidence. We're living in such a time, such a wicked, twisted time, that God is looking for foot soldiers of the barrio to rise up and to do his business. See, we're not afraid to go one foot from hell. We're not afraid to knock on the crack house, go into the den, the shooting gallery, to the prisons, to the jails. We're not, because we're anointed to do that. God has given us a special anointing. He set us aside. So he's looking for us to continue to know that he is with us, that he has called us and he has appointed us for such a time as this. You were just not born on your birth date just because. God has a special divine plan for your life. I don't care how things got messed up along the way, what you had to go through to get into his plan, but you're here and you're here now. And it's important that you don't get out of his will. Amen. It's important that you have an expectancy within your heart, that you tell the Lord, I am ready for 2018. I am ready to see the impossible be possible. I am ready to see the healing come upon those that I'm believing for. I am ready for that financial miracle. I am ready to see my loved one delivered and set free. I am ready for my marriage to get on fire. Some of your marriages need to be on fire. So come to the discipleship that's coming up. I want to ask you a question. How is your expectancy level? You know that you have, there's levels of expectancy, just like there's levels of faith. The Bible says that he gives us all a measure of faith. Just a little bit. And then we have to grow our faith and continue to grow our faith. And that's our expectancy level. Where are you? Where are you positioned? Are you ready? Are you stepping out? And are you doing something by faith? Because how many of you know it's not going to grow unless you step out a little bit? God is looking for you to step out just a little bit. In James 1, 5, in the Message Bible, 5 through 8, it says, if you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help you. Hello. You'll get his help, and you won't be condescending to when you ask for it. Ask boldly. Everybody say boldly. Believing. Everybody say believing. Without a second thought. People who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the master that way. You're adrift at the sea, keeping all your options open. Listen, I don't have an option. My only option is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and to do what he's called me to do. That's my only option in life. Because that's my calling. The Bible says that our calling is without repentance. There's no changing plans in the middle of the stream. There's no changing plans and saying, okay, God, I just decided today that I'm not called. I'm going to go ahead and get a job. I'm not going to even ask my husband. You know, I'm just going to go get a job. I need a job. What? You guys would all go nuts. You'd go be looking for me. You'd be looking for me. You'd put that. You put me in the Sale Asylum yourselves. Come on, Sister Barb, it's time to go. But what I'm saying is that you have to stay in line. You have to stay positioned. You have to be expecting. The best way to describe expectancy is when moms are about to give birth to a baby. Okay, you men don't understand this, but stay with me. I promise you, you're going to get it, okay? When a mom is about to give birth, she says, I'm done with being pregnant. I'm ready to have this baby. I can't carry it another minute. I'm hot. I'm tired. You cut your hair off like I did once. This child is in my ribs. Enough is enough. I need to give birth to this baby and get it out. That's expectancy. Like you are ready for that to happen. There's no, oh, well, maybe this baby will be born, or maybe I can change my mind, or maybe I can go on 3 more months. Oh, heck no. You are ready to have that child, man. You can't wait for that day. And the minute things start to happen, you are on the way to the hospital. Your husband gets so nervous, he forgets everything. Pastor always forgot everything. He almost forgot me. But he was just as much in a hurry to see that beautiful baby as I was. Our promises are those beautiful babies. Our promises that God desires to give to us, that we're expecting to happen, are those beautiful babies. He wants to give you your baby. Yeah, even you men, he wants to give you your baby. When you get pregnant, you're like in the hurry up and wait game. And you know, it's tough. It's tough. It really is tough. It's a different kind of process that you'll never understand. But waiting on God's promises takes the same kind of spirit. I wonder what he's going to do. I can't imagine how he's going to do it. Oh, I'm so excited to see what God's going to do. When I was waiting for Pastor to be saved for 10 years, I couldn't see it at first because it was too dark. And many of you can't see it because things are too dark in front of you. The Lord wants to open your eyes. He wants to give you supernatural vision to the promise that he has for you. I couldn't see it. And all of a sudden, as I began to pray, God began to give me vision. I remember the very first time I had a vision of Pastor actually being saved. Now, he was in the darkest place ever, ever. It was dark. I was done. I was about to abort that baby. That's how bad it was. And I can remember one day lifting my hands in church and I said, God, you've got to show me something. I have to see something. My expectancy level is down. It's really down. I need to see. And all of a sudden, the Lord gave me a vision, the very first vision I had. And I saw him with his hands surrendered, not just like maybe I'll serve God, surrendered like he had been arrested by the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you, the day he got saved was the day he got arrested by the Holy Ghost. So I used to tell the Lord, okay, I'll wait. I don't want him half done. I don't want him kind of saved. I don't want him to be in and out of the church. I want him to be on fire for you, God, because he's your servant and you love him. And so I could begin to see what God wanted to do. And the day the Lord saved him, he instantly delivered him from drugs. He instantly delivered him from being a womanizer. He instantly did, because my vision changed. Amen? Your vision needs to change for your promise. You're never going to get what God wants to give you unless your vision changes. You've got to get a different perspective. You have to see people differently. You have to ask the Lord for his eyesight. Amen? God is ready to birth those things to come forth, but he's waiting for us. He has you. He has your promise. He's got your back. He knows what you need. He's not just sitting there waiting and twiddling his thumbs and saying, well, maybe. No, he knows exactly when it's time. He knows exactly when he wants to deliver this to you. We get so excited when the Lord first gives us a promise. We're so excited. We can hardly wait. But during the formation of that promise, as he's shaping you and your faith, you lose some things. You lose your joy. Come on now. You lose your strength. You lose your peace sometimes. You lose your mind. The enemy wants you to lose your faith. That's what he's after. If he can get your faith, he has everything. In the days when I was having children, ultrasound wasn't a thing. Now they have 3D ultrasound. Not only can you know the sex of your baby, whether it's going to be male or female, but you can see the features. I've seen ultrasounds where the baby's waving. I mean, it's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. Like, it's intense, like 3D. Wow, the baby. We didn't even know. Back then, we were like, is it going to be a boy? Is it going to be a girl? What's it going to look like? Is it going to look like Danny? Is it going to look like Barb? Who is it going to look like? And then this baby's born. No, that's the promise. That's the promise that God has for you. He wants you to have that kind of expectation. I have an expectancy within my heart that it's going to be perfect. That it's going to be the perfect thing for me. Our ultrasound is faith. Faith. Can you tell your neighbor, I need more faith? Faith. We have to declare faith over our situations. We have to declare faith over our promise. We build our faith by speaking his word. Expectation comes from believing. We're not just hoping that we're going to have a baby. We know we're going to have a baby. It's growing in the belly. It's for sure. It's going to happen. And your promise is like that too. You might not be able to see it and you might not be able to feel it, but it's there. It's there and you have to begin to declare it. God, I am expecting everything that you have for me. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell him right now what one thing that you're expecting from God this year. Come on. Just one thing. And then I want three bold people, real quickly, we're going to have a little bit of interaction, to run up to this mic and tell me what you're expecting in 2018. Come on, I know you got some expectations in here. Come on, three of you. All right, here comes one. The widow woman.
Change in relationship with God.
Man, hallelujah. She is expecting change in a relationship with God. What are you expecting, Larry?
Actually, that's part of it. I'm expecting to put out a CD.
Oh, CD. We want his CD.
I'm expecting to get my kids back and to be off probation.
Okay, this is getting too good. Anybody else? Those are some good expectations. Did you notice none of them were selfish? That's when you've got the attention of God. See, when I quit expecting my husband to be saved because I looked bad in church walking around with four kids, every time I walk through the doors. When I got my mind on God wanting to save him because he's a soul, he was lost and on his way to hell, that's when things changed. Our perspective on what God wants to give us isn't selfish. I said it earlier, the overflow that God wants to give you isn't just for you. He wants to give you the overflow so other people can be touched by God. Amen? So that you can give them something. Psalm 62, we're going to start with verse 1. It says, truly my soul waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you attack, O man? You will slain all of you like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. Then they only consult to cast him down from the high position. They delight in lies and they bless with their mouth, but they curse God inwardly. My soul waits patiently for God and God alone, and my expectation is from him. Everybody say that with me. My expectation is from him. Many of you are waiting for that expectation for somebody else to give it to you. It's not going to happen. Only God can give you those things. Our soul has to wait for him. The emphasis is on the soul, and it's on waiting for him. If we don't train our souls to wait for God and to discipline ourselves, instead we remain anxious, we remain frustrated, and we can actually delay the blessing of God. Last year, he challenged us to rise up. Now it's time to proclaim. God has been good to us. As we've been standing, you need to begin to say, I am expecting you to move. I am expecting you to deliver. I am expecting you to save. I am expecting you to provide. I am expecting you to anoint my life fresh. I am expecting a financial miracle. And I am expecting you to open doors. See, God has closed some doors for some of you because it wasn't time. But now he's saying it's time. Some of you in this room, it's time for those doors to be open. Some of you have been waiting for doors to be open, and God's going to open the doors. No more wondering, no more fear, no more maybe, no more. The emphasis is God is about to do it. Amen? If we put our trust in him, our 100% trust in God, he wants to do it. He desires to show his power upon the earth. We're living in times where we need God to show off a little bit. We need him to show off. Why? Because there's so much unbelief. There's so much doubt. There's so much lies upon the earth. So much deception is upon the earth. And God is looking for people who will just stand and say, I will be the one that believes. I will be the one that shows forth your power, God. He's looking for people that aren't just hoping, but that are actually waiting and believing and declaring and positioning themselves for those promises. So tonight I ask you, are you ready for your miracle? Are you ready for your healing? Are you ready for God to give you those promises? You have to say, no more am I going to listen to the enemy. No more am I going to stay in doubt. No more am I going to not believe, but I am going to become the biggest believer there is. Do you know that's what it means to be a believer in Christ? Is to believe in his promises, that they are yea and amen for the believer. The believer. Did you get that? For the believer. We have to tell the enemy no more. Just like once that baby is born, we have to begin to give it nourishment. God has blessings for you. He's already given you some blessings, but have you nourished them? Have you provided food for them? Have you remained grateful for them? Or did you say, that one wasn't good enough, I want a bigger one? You have to care for what he's already given you. You have to be diligent. You have to stay focused. You have to say, God, I'll take care of what you want. That was a big emphasis that we got last week, that we have to care for the vision. We have to care for this beautiful movement that God has given us. And to the best of our ability, we do. But we need you also to care. We need you also to be the guarders of the vision. Amen? To protect what God has given us. Don't be those people that push the envelope. If God has set you free, nurture your deliverance. Don't go backwards, go forward. Don't push it to see how far you can go and how far you can get away with things, but push yourself forward instead. Amen. If God has healed you, then stay healthy. What are you doing to stay healthy? If God has healed you from drug addiction, then what in the world are you doing to stay healthy? Have you traded one drug for another? Oh, hello, operator. We call it fellowship. Well, I don't think it's fellowship after 9 o'clock when you're eating double cheeseburger and a Diet Coke. If God raised you up as a leader, what are you doing to grow as a greater leader? What are the disciplines? What are your goals for 2018? I set that out there to the leadership, the women leadership. I've got three responses so far. Three women have given me their goals for 2018. I was like, whoa, nobody has goals? Goals for their ministry, for their life, for their marriage. Goals. What does God want you to have goals for? The things that will please Him. You cannot expect God to give you something better if you won't take care of what He's already given you. You can't ask Him for a new car. Oh, I declare a new car, and the one you have is so dirty. The oil hasn't been changed. It's running on bald tires. God's not going to bless that. He is not going to bless a mess. But He will bless faithfulness. If it's a hoopty and it has bald tires and you can't afford any, afford new ones, believe God for new ones. Amen? If it needs an oil change, learn how to, there's Google for everything. Google oil changes. Do it yourself. There is do-it-yourselves for everything. But do it. Take care of what God has already given you. And all of a sudden, we'll be seeing you drive up in a Beamer one day. Ooh, hello. Your new car. I've seen all of you, most of you, get some new cars. And I know that God gave it to you, and you take care of it. You were a good, good steward over what He gave you before. See, in God and in the promises and in what He's given you right now, there are no returns. We can decide that this needs to be turned in for something better. There used to be a saying that you can't turn your 50-year-old wife in for 220s or 40-year-old wife in for 220s. No. That's who God gave you. It's till death do you part. There was no trading in. But you can't trade your blessings in either. Just because sister so-and-so has a better whatever or brother so-and-so has a better whatever and you don't have it doesn't mean it's for you. Quit being envious. Quit trying to live up to the Joneses or whatever that saying is. But thank Him for where you're at. Can you lift your hands right now and tell Him thank you? Thank you for the bed I sleep in. Thank you for the food on my table. Thank you for the car I drive. Thank you for my church. Thank you for my family. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're positioning yourself for more now. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. God is looking for His people. He's looking for you right now. He's looking for us to love like we've never loved before because it's the antidote to hate. He's looking for us to serve like we've never served before because it's the antidote to the self-centered lifestyle upon the earth. He's looking for us to stand in unity, which is the antidote to the horrible disunity that's upon the earth. If you're not striving to walk in peace with your brother and sisters, then you're being led by the spirit of this world. And the Lord wants to yank that out of you. He wants to take it out and say, enough is enough. We don't have time to waste. We have a job to do. God is expecting us, Victory Outreach Albuquerque, to do our job. Ladies, Friday night, Twilight Treasures. If you've never been to the streets, come and get prayed up and let's go to the streets because these women are hungry. The last time we went to the streets, you know, we were up and down Central. We were passing by the motel where the girls live. My spirit wasn't satisfied. And there just happened to be a guy working outside. He was their groundskeeper. I told Leisha, go ask him if he can go knock on the doors for us, because we knew the girls would be freaked out. So he did. He went and he knocked on every door. And all of us went in and we prayed for these girls. These girls were desperate. One woman said, I am so lonely. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm miserable. I'm lonely. Another one said, I was praying for a bag just to carry my groceries. We're living in a crazy time where people are really hurting and they really need us. So I want to challenge you girls, go out to the streets. Not so much just because we're asking you, but because God is asking you. Because he's looking for you, amen? He's looking for you to go to the prisons. He's looking for you to go to the jails. He's looking for you to go any place that expectancy needs to be there, where you can show the hope of God to people. This is not a time to doubt. This is a time to say, I am 100% in. I will give my whole being to the Lord, everything that I am, all my feelings, all my doubts. I'm going to expect nothing but the best from you, God. Change your vocabulary this year. Let this be a year that you think before you speak. Quit speaking out of the side of your neck. You're making a mess for yourself and everybody around you. Think about your words. Do you know that every time a word leaves your mouth, it goes into the atmosphere, and one or two things happen. Either the devil gets a hold of those words and causes havoc, or God and his angels get a hold of it. What do you want for your life? Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Amen? Let's begin to declare the good things over people's lives. Let's begin to declare that they are the head and not the tail. Let's begin to declare that that's my brother, my sister. Let's begin to declare that they're growing and I'm watching them grow. And I'm going to give them the grace to grow. God is looking for us. He's looking for us. We have to choose the right thing. Stand with me tonight. The life expectancy of what you think you need is about between 10 and 15 years. Maybe if you're blessed like we are in marriage, 40 years of marriage. Those things that we look for and that we desire and that we want, those are great things. But the life expectancy of God's word is eternal. Eternal. God's word is eternal. His promises are eternal. The Lord really showed me today as I was in prayer that some of you have been very disappointed. Your faith has gotten low because you've been disappointed. You haven't seen what you expected to see. Maybe you looked through wrong eyes or wrong perspective or whatever the case may be, or maybe somebody actually let you down. And the Lord wants to set you free tonight. He wants to give you that hope back. Amen. Maybe you were expecting something that didn't have that person from someone, and they didn't have the capacity to give it to you. Even your own husband. Do you know that we let each other down? We're not perfect. We don't have all the answers for each other, even as husband and wives. But you know, there's somebody greater than that. He knows all things, he has all things, and he's ready to give all things. He knows the perfect time and the perfect situation. He knows when to give you those things. The only thing God is expecting from you and I for each other is that we stand with each other, that we pray with each other, that we believe in each other, that we encourage each other, that we build each other's faith. That's what church is all about. We don't just come together as a group because we have to. I don't come to church because I have to. I come to church because I am privileged to, and because I want to, because it blesses me to see your life grow. It blesses me and Pastor and I to see lives be transformed, to see lives be changed, to see lives be touched by the power of God. It blesses us to get to know people within this church. Last night we got to see our young brother playing basketball. What an amazing basketball player you are. And I was broken, honest. I'm going to be real honest right here, because I didn't know you played. And I thought to myself, how come I don't know this young man plays such good basketball? Why is it that we're too consumed with things that are important? I am cheering you on, little guy. You're going to be big sometime. You already are. You're amazing, but I believe God's going to raise you up, not just to be a great basketball player, but to be a light at your school, in your college, and everywhere He takes you. That's your word tonight. And those are the things God has for us. He sees. When we don't see, He sees. He's paying attention, because we're just human. We don't know everything. He's been watching you, and He's been looking, and He's been seeing what you've been believing for, what you've been standing for, and He's got you, and He loves you, and He cares for you, and He's about to give you what you've been hoping for. But you got to get ready. You got to get yourself ready. You have to align yourself for what God wants to do for you. Everybody's eyes closed, please. My soul waits silently for God alone. For my expectation is from Him. With that being said, if you've been disappointed, if you've been let down, whatever the case may be, tonight, God wants to remove that and give you, push the refreshing button. He wants to push the refreshing button, and He wants your faith to be refreshed. He wants it to go to another level. And if that's you tonight, just these altars are open. He wants to love on you and minister to you and build you up tonight. Broken.